You Partake, Chapter 3. Summary. Gil-galad attempts to apologize, and oh boy, does he suck at it. Celebrimbor and Elrond leave for Eregion, and Celebrimbor is once more worried. Trademark. Elrond gets more cuddles, because it's what he deserves. No actual smut in this chapter, but TBH, Elrond needs the break. LMAO. Author's note. Quick Sindarin guide. Galu Elig means goodbye, good luck, little star. The night passes quickly for Celebrimbor. He remains with Elrond, unmoving, simply holding him while he sleeps. Celebrimbor cannot say he has anything to complain about it. It's fascinating, the way Elrond sleeps. Celebrimbor has never had the occasion to observe Manish sleep so closely. This is just about as close as one can get, holding the sleeper in your arms with her head against your breast. Elrond sleeps with his eyes shut, dark eyelashes curled up against his cheek, chest rising and falling. His breath is quick, at first. During this time, he moves, simple little twitches here and there, but then his breath slows and deepens, and he begins to grow cold. This gives Celebrimbor a slight jolt of panic, for elves do not grow cold unless they are fading. But Elrond lies there, body cool, sleeping blissfully on for a little while, seemingly well. Celebrimbor can't help but wonder, where is he? Elves walk the paths of memories. Do men as well? Do Perethel? Or do they go somewhere else entirely? After an hour, he reaches a new state, which is even more fascinating, a state which looks nothing like elf sleep. His body goes completely lax, liquid in Celebrimbor's arms, and beneath his lids his eyes dart back and forth, breath speeding. Celebrimbor worries it is the beginning of a nightmare, but he never seems to grow distressed. And then it fades and slips into something else. All night he does this, shifting between different stages. Celebrimbor wishes he could reach his notebook and stopwatch, if only to record the phenomenon. When the light around the curtains begins to pale, Celebrimbor hears shuffling in the antechamber to his sleeping quarters. No doubt Gil-galad has sent someone to pack his things for him, ready them for the journey back to Eregion, and to bring him breakfast. Elrond stirs at last, yawns, his eyes open and looks sleep-hazed. His face is flushed pink. His brow furrows. He twists, then looks up at Celebrimbor. Celebrimbor just offers him a little smile. Good morning. Slowly, Elrond sits up, looking alarmed. Good morning. Elrond has not woken in such a way since he was a child with his father's. It is comfortingly toasty in the blanket. He feels somehow quite clean, and his body hums with something warm and pleasant that he can't name. In the nights when Gil-galad allows him to stay after he's taken Elrond to bed, Gil-galad never stays there for long. Elrond is accustomed to waking to an empty place beside him, being left to hunt around for his scattered clothes and fend for himself for breakfast. But Lord Celebrimbor is here, holding him, somehow. The events of last night float back into his brain, and of how last night ended. He flushes red and pulls back, scrubbing at his face with the back of his hand. I am sorry, he says. The king he is good to me, Lord Celebrimbor. I was quite well. But he doesn't want to sound ungrateful, because it had been nice to be cared for, to be held. He does not want to lose the opportunity to earn this again. I am sorry that you felt the need to upset him on my behalf, and I really am grateful. Lord Celebrimbor's mouth turns up into something that is not quite a smile. Why don't you join me for breakfast, Elrond? We have a long road ahead today. Eregion. Elrond shivers with excitement. In any case, Lord Celebrimbor cannot be too unhappy with him, Elrond must have done something that pleased him last night to be offered such attention. He only hopes that he will continue to be so pleasing. He is confident where Khazad-dûm is concerned, but is still unsure of what Celebrimbor will expect of him in Eregion. Celebrimbor offers him one of his dressing gowns, which Elrond gratefully accepts, and then the two of them take breakfast in the sunroom. Celebrimbor is surprised to find that there are two place settings and plenty of food for both of them.
Iranian's doing, likely.
A thoughtful gesture. He cannot be truly angry then, which is a relief. When they are finished, Celebrimbor excuses Elrond to pack his things and promises to meet him in the courtyard. Gil-galad is there to see them off. Elrond cannot bear to look at him. He's too ashamed of himself. He simply stands there next to his horse with the rest of the company, staring at his shoes. He waits until Celebrimbor and Gil-galad exchange words, and doesn't really hear them, and tenses when Gil-galad glides over to him.
"It is impolite not to face your king when he is speaking to you," Gil-galad scolds. His tone is not unkind.
Elrond takes a deep breath and raises his gaze to meet Gil-galad's. Gil-galad rarely smiles, but his countenance is soft as he takes Elrond's shoulder and squeezes it.
"I have no doubt you will do well in your mission to Khazad-dûm," he says. "Galul-ilig."
All of Elrond's breath rushes out of him at once, spine flooded with relief. He has to look at the ground again because his vision is misting over and he does not wish to cry.
"Thank you," he whispers. "And I am..."
"No apologies, Elrond,"
Gil-galad reprimands just as quietly.
"Go now. Do not keep Lord Celebrimbor's company waiting."
Elrond glances back to see that Lord Celebrimbor has already mounted his horse and is waiting for him at the gates, watching them with a sharp-eyed expression, no doubt listening. Elrond turns to pay Gil-galad a respectful dip of his head, then mounts his own horse and goes to join Celebrimbor. The evening after they arrive in Ostenethil, Celebrimbor is up late poring over his forge blueprints when he hears a shy knock at his door. He doesn't look up, simply calls for whomever it is to enter. The door opens, shuts. The footfalls are feather light. He glances up to see Elrond standing there amidst Celebrimbor's reading chairs and stacks of books that he has yet to shelve, looking surprisingly lost. He stands there, silent, looking absolutely everywhere but Celebrimbor.
"Elrond," Celebrimbor says in surprise.
"I don't mean to interrupt," Elrond says at once, as if Celebrimbor's greeting has jostled something loose which allowed his voice to finally tumble from his throat. Celebrimbor straightens at his writing desk. Then he stands and rounds his chair to cross to the tea table. The tea in the pot, to his relief, is still warm. It's easy to forget about it and let it go cold when he's working.
"You are not," he answers. "What can I do for you? I thought you would have been asleep by now."
Elrond's voice sticks in his throat again. He does not know what to say or how to begin. He has come here to see Celebrimbor in the hopes that he might take him to bed. He only doesn't know how to ask. But Elrond cannot stop thinking about how kindly Lord Celebrimbor had looked at him when he had taken Elrond the first time, about his kisses, about the praise which had fallen from his lips as easily as breath, about how Celebrimbor had held him after and allowed him to fall asleep.
"Forgive me," he says after an uncomfortable stretch of silence.
Celebrimbor is offering a cup of tea aloft for him to take. He does out of sheer polite habit and holds it awkwardly in his hands.
"I only thought, perhaps..." Still, he does not know how to ask.
Celebrimbor takes a seat in one of the reading chairs. Elrond does not. He does not wish to make it even more awkward if Celebrimbor asks him to leave. It will be easier if he does not make himself too comfortable. Celebrimbor waits as Elrond hovers. It's clear by how Elrond's throat constricts that there is some question he wishes to ask, but is far too anxious to. He doesn't drink his tea. He hardly breathes. He simply stands there and stares at the rug, and Celebrimbor cannot imagine what he could be here for that could be so stressful to mention. Elrond sets his cup down, and it's almost a relief for how tense he looked standing there, refusing to drink out of it. He brushes his hair back behind his ear, fusses with the hem of his sleeve, and then finally meets Celebrimbor's eyes. "I very much enjoyed myself when you joined the king," he says at last. "I thought that perhaps you seemed to enjoy yourself too. I am not under any impression that it had anything truly to do with me," and that is said with a self-deprecating smile. "You were there for the king, of course, but I was wondering if you might allow me to, if you might have need of me tonight, or any other night." He is rambling. Celebrimbor sets his teacup down and stands to take Elrond by the shoulders. Elrond's eyes turn to the floor, and so Celebrimbor is obliged to press his hand beneath his chin to prompt him to look up at him again. "Elrond," he begins very carefully, "you are a guest in my house, and I am your superior." "Of course," Elrond thinks. "I have overstepped." "No," Celebrimbor interrupts, "but I do not wish to take advantage of you. I already know that you are clever, wise, and capable, and have thus far been very pleased with all of your work and service." He takes Elrond's face in both his hands, sinking a little so they are level with each other. "You have nothing to prove to me." Elrond's eyes slip closed. He leans into the touch, chasing it, and Celebrimbor thinks he understands. "I do desire you, my lord," Elrond breathes. When he opens his eyes to look at him, Celebrimbor is giving him that smile, the one he had given him when he had taken him in Gil-galad's chambers. Warm. Fond. The look in Elrond's eyes is full of so much hope, and Celebrimbor cannot help but answer him honestly with, "And I you." Elrond seems to take that as a cue, reaching tentatively for his belt. Celebrimbor stops him. "But I am not in the mood for that tonight." Elrond looks so disappointed that he might be on the verge of tears. His face falls to his feet, and Celebrimbor can swear he hears him sniffle. Celebrimbor still has him held between his hands, so he gives his face a gentle, affectionate squeeze. "But I would enjoy your company," he says. "If you would allow me to hold you while I read, I would find that a great comfort." Elrond breathes a sigh of relief, steps back, his hands going to his belt. It takes a second of confusion for Celebrimbor to remember how he had found Elrond and Gil-galad that first night. He lets out a little laugh to disguise his sorrow and stays him again. "Elrond, I mean just to hold you." Elrond blushes. "Oh, an understandable misconception," Celebrimbor says, keeping his tone light.
"Surely Gil-galad has not relegated his affection to that context."
But it seems, for all evidence, that he has. Celebrimbor has always known Gil-galad to have little desire or affinity for personal touch. It does not come naturally to him. Elrond, Celebrimbor is slowly gleaning, is nearly his polar opposite. He hopes that Gil-galad has not meant to teach him that sex and affection come hand in hand, but Elrond is young. Celebrimbor is not sure if he has ever had any other lovers. He adores Arrhenion and is eager to please and easily masks his own needs, and that makes Celebrimbor uneasy. It isn't difficult to see why Arrhenion likes him in bed. Elrond has shaped himself for him to perfection. Celebrimbor gets up to fetch his latest notebook and one of the texts on Khazad-dûl he has been working his way through, then rearranges himself to recline on the settee and pats the cushion next to him. Elrond is still not really sure what is happening or how he got here.
He has not thought that his work thus far in Austinethil has been so good as to warrant this, but he certainly isn't going to contradict or complain. He comes over and gingerly sinks down onto the settee. His breath hitches in surprise when Celebrimbor winds an arm around his shoulder and guides him to curl up into his side, his head resting against Celebrimbor's chest. Celebrimbor sinks his fingers into Elrond's hair, pets it, sending little spiraling sparks of warmth down Elrond's spine, and studies his book. If Elrond could think straight, he might have offered him help with his Khazad-dûl. His grammar is incorrect in many places, and his handwriting is atrocious, but he's helpless against the steady heartbeat in his ear and the way Celebrimbor is stroking his hair, the way each little touch seems to go nowhere except inside of him, and ask nothing in return. He drifts on the border of sleep in the dim lights of Celebrimbor's chambers, and is quite sure that he feels Celebrimbor kiss his head.